Well, good morning, everyone. It's an exciting day today because we have, well, number one, we have a visitor here. Pastor Randall Cheney is our missionary from Africa, and he's going to speak for a little bit after I speak, and I'm not going to speak very long this morning, but we also have our youth auction, which is to help raise money to help the kids, the teens that attend our youth group each week, to help them get to camp this summer. So I would encourage everyone to go downstairs. We have some food down there for everybody, and it'll be a good time. We are in week two of the sermon series called The Final Days of Jesus. This series is a walkthrough of each day of the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. Starting from the first Sunday, where he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. We talked about that last week. And it's going to lead all the way up to the last Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead after being crucified on a cross. Now today we're going to be going over sort of a tough message or thing that Jesus spoke about. This topic is regarding a topic called the end times or the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is a topic that many preachers may try to avoid because there is so much controversy, disagreement on the order of events that Scriptures lays out for us leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. However, the Bible speaks more of Jesus' second coming than it does his first coming. So I think it's pretty important that we know about this and pay attention to what the Scriptures have to say. Now today I'm only going to touch on a few of those details and events leading up to Christ's return, but I don't want us to all get bogged down in all these details. For instance, I'm not going to go into the detail of how Jesus is going to rapture or take away his church. Now the rapture is a topic concerning Jesus stepping in to remove his followers from the earth before this great tribulation and judgment that is to come upon the world. Although I do think the Scriptures are clear that there will be a coming judgment by God on this earth, perhaps sooner than we all think. I do believe the Scriptures, though, tell us that there is a greater purpose behind all of this. So since this topic today is a little heavy, I first want to share something maybe a little more lighthearted. A pastor who was considered to be a prophet of doom because he always preached about end times and the coming judgment walked into a church sign business one day to have a new sign made for his church. Now, when he walked up to the counter, he asked this person at the counter to make him a sign that read, "The world ends tomorrow." The sign maker replied, "I can get that done by next week." And the pastor said, "Sure, here's $150. You know, we can laugh at a joke like this because sadly there have been some pastors or prophets of doom out there making some pretty crazy statements or predictions which never come to pass. And Satan loves it when some pastor or so-called prophet of doom makes some false prediction on the second coming of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus even warned us that we would see and hear more of these false predictions or false prophets regarding his return as we approach the end of days and Christ's actual return. We are even warned by the Apostle Peter about these false prophets. But Peter also warned that these false prophets would cause some people to doubt that Jesus would ever really return in the first place. In 2 Peter verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 3, Peter says, "Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, 'Where is this promise of his coming?'" So whenever we hear or read an end times message, we need to be careful and make sure whoever is giving some prediction, it actually lines up with the Scriptures. We also need to be careful not to discount the scriptures concerning the end times, or more so, Christ's second coming. But let me be very, very clear. Any message concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ should never be a message of doom for believers. Christ's second coming is what the apostles and the early church considered to be our blessed hope. It is something that the early church longed for. You see, they were going through extreme persecution and suffering at that time. The early church understood what it meant to live their lives here on earth for eternity, not just for the moment or for today. They looked forward to the return of Jesus. You know, I don't even like calling a message like this an end times message. For the believer, the second coming of Christ will be a glorious day for those who are found in Him. Not a day we should ever, ever dread. We will be more alive than ever before when He comes back. All pain, all suffering, all death will end. Jesus will wipe every tear from our eyes. He will create a new heaven and a new earth, and He will make all things right again. That's a glorious day. So these mockers that I have run into don't really bother me from the perspective that they doubt, because I understand why they do. Especially when there have been false prophets out there saying Jesus is returning on some specific date, as if they have a specific message coming from God to give them that day, when Jesus already said, no man knows the day or the hour. It does make a mockery of the rest of the faithful in the church when someone does that. And it saddens me that many of these same mockers will one day realize it will be too late for them if they're not found in Christ when Jesus does actually return to set up His kingdom here on earth. And I also want to be very, very clear again that Jesus is returning. He is coming back. And it may be sooner, as I said before, than we all may think. And I, for one, don't want anyone standing in front of Jesus one day, whether they die and go to heaven or whether when He returns, I don't want anyone standing in front of Him and having Jesus say to that person, away from me, I never knew you. Until that day comes when Christ returns, His church has a big responsibility. And that is to share the good news of the gospel of this coming kingdom, offered to everyone through faith because of His grace, that He has given us life for all eternity, not just in heaven, but on the new earth. That is an awesome, awesome thing. So last Sunday we were in the book of Matthew and reviewed that Sunday when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy given by the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. Now if we remember, the people laid palm branches down and cried out, Hosanna in the highest. Their king and their savior had arrived. Jesus didn't just enter the city of Jerusalem quietly either. He wanted the people to know who their king and who their savior was. And as I just spoke to the children about, Jesus' first stop in the temple that Sunday morning was to cleanse out the temple. And He told the people in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. This truly was the beginning of Jesus declaring the kingdom, that the kingdom belonged to him. Not just the kingdom in Jerusalem or that temple, but as we will soon discover, the kingdom is his for the entire world. We often think of Jesus as being some lowly, humble servant, which could make him appear weak. And as we discovered in the temple that day from last week, Jesus was far from being a weak man. There may be times when it seems like Satan and the ways of this world are just too much for us to handle. But there is a king who has overcome this world. He was there in the temple that day, and he is here today with us. Jesus was declaring himself to be the king, not just for the Jews, but for all of humanity. He is in charge, and he was making it clear that day in that temple who was in charge. Now, we know from studying the scriptures that after this day, Jesus hung out around the temple up until about Tuesday. When Tuesday arrived, Jesus was ready to leave the temple area to go out into the rest of the city with his disciples. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, it says, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to a point to point out the temple building to him. And he said, they said to him, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Now scholars and historians all agree that the temple that Herod built was magnificent. When they built the temple, they laid molten gold in between the stones, very large stones. So when the sun shined down on that temple building, the temple would look like it was shining and even glowing on top of that temple hill. People could see that shining temple from miles and miles away. And the Jewish people were very, very proud of their temple. And as Jesus is walking away from this temple with his disciples, the disciples couldn't help but be in awe of the structure and the buildings around it and decided to point out the majesty of it all to Jesus. And then Jesus said something very curious to them. He told them that that temple would be destroyed and not one stone would be left standing. Almost 40 years after Jesus was crucified, those very words and prophecy given by Jesus were fulfilled. History tells us that in 70 AD, the Roman army destroyed the temple. It is said by historians that the Roman soldiers saw the gold in between the stones of the temple and decided to knock every one of those stones down to get at that gold. Exactly fulfilling what Jesus said would occur. Not one stone of the temple would be left standing. This statement or prophecy given to the disciples by Jesus really had to really shock the disciples. We need to understand that the temple was the face of the Jewish people's identity. And here is Jesus, their king, saying it would all be destroyed. That is not something that they would expect their king to say. The disciples wanted to know when all this would happen. And Jesus then goes on into even more detail of what was to come. Not just for the Jews, but for the entire world. That day there was a lot that Jesus shared with his disciples of what was to come in the future. Jesus spoke of wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, which, by the way, is properly translated races against races. He also said there'd be kingdoms rising up against kingdoms. Jesus said that these were only the beginnings of the birth pains. He said that these birth pains would continue on leading up until to his return. Just over 2,000 years ago, if we look through history, everything that Jesus says was going to happen is happening, and it's getting worse and worse each day. In Matthew 24, verse 9 through 12, Jesus said also that the love in the world would grow cold. We read, "They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. In that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because of lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." I stated at the beginning of this message that I'm not going to go into all the details of the events leading up to his return, but I do encourage you to take time to study the scriptures for yourself. The reason why I didn't want to go into all those details, because I think it can distract us from the larger point here that Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples and to all of us. That is that this present world that we live in is fallen. And each year that goes by, the world, as I said, keeps getting worse and worse. And true love is growing colder and colder in this world. Hatred in this world is increasing daily. And the world's hatred towards anything related to God, including those who follow him, continues to grow each day as well. It is said in the scripture that evil would be considered good and good would be considered evil in the end days. The prophet Isaiah even warned us of this by saying in Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now, none of us can deny that this isn't what we're seeing today. What God calls evil, the culture and society calls good. The things God says are good are now considered evil by the world. It really is a sad state that our world lives in. But there's good news. One day, Jesus is coming to end all of that and make it right again. You know, we all experience the pain and suffering that this world has. We also experience, though, the good and the love that is given to us by God. But the more the good and that love is snuffed out by the evil of this world, it is only driving us closer to judgment and the second coming of Jesus Christ. But as Jesus stated, the gospel or good news will be preached throughout the world before he returns. Because God does not want anyone to perish. Even the most vile of sinners, he loves. His love and his church is now the light of the world. When we see the results of sin in this world, such as the school shootings that just occurred, or all of them that has been happening over the years, people often ask, "Where is God?" But many of these people are, same people are the ones trying to drive God out of everything in our lives. They want to live their own way, not realizing it is the way of Satan, who is laughing at us in this world. But Jesus is not laughing. He's crying with us. He's crying through us through our pain and suffering. In that school shooting just a couple weeks ago, Jesus was there crying with the people. And Jesus stepped down, though, into the darkness. When people ask, "Where is God?" Jesus stepped down into the darkness of this world just over 2,000 years ago and went to the cross for us. He suffered and died for us. So when he returns and resurrection day comes, we can rise with him. He rose 3 days later and defeated the darkness once and for all. The enemy thinks he's winning. Every time there's a school shooting, every time there's a war, every time there's a tragic event, a death, whatever it may be, the enemy thinks that he is winning, but he is already lost. Through his grace, through Christ's grace, he has rescued us from this fallen world. And as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death in this world, Christ is with us. He is holding our hand and he is assuring us that everything is going to be all right. Because he still has everything under his control. And in his timing, he is going to make all things right again when he returns. That is our blessed hope. That is the full message of the gospel. The second coming of Jesus should never, ever be something a Christian should dread. We should be longing for his return. And as we wait for his return, again, his church should be that light of the world. The shining city on the hill. The holy temple that had all that gold in between the stones where all the people could see God. Christians are now that holy temple that this fallen world can see the light, can see the hope, even if they hate us for it. Because Jesus reminded us that the world hated him first, even crucified him for his message. Since we should be longing for Christ's return, then this should be driving the church to do what he told us to do. That is to preach the gospel to the world. Billy Graham just passed away last week, and he did just that. There was nothing, although he was a great man of God, there was nothing really special about Billy Graham besides him being obedient and sharing Christ with the world. Every believer has that responsibility. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to explore Christ's final days together, leading up to Easter Sunday. And I again encourage you to invite friends and family, especially someone who needs to hear this hope found in Christ. Because over the next few weeks, as we explore these final days that Jesus walked on the earth, Jesus is really going to confront the issues facing this world, facing our own lives, because he loves us. He loves everyone. And he never wants to leave anyone in this fallen state of this world. He is our blessed hope. Now, I'm ending my message early this week because we have a visitor, as I mentioned, who is out there in the world sharing this blessed hope with the people. He is one of our denomination missionaries, Pastor Randall Chaney. Randall and his family are missionaries to Africa. And I thought it would be encouraging to all of us today as we listen to what Randall has to share. And my prayer is that our church will be encouraged to be more focused on the missionary work right here in our own community. Let me close out in prayer and I'll invite Randall up to give us a message of what they're doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you for giving us the message of hope, for everything that you have done for us, to give us life eternal, the promise of that, Lord. And as we long and hope for your return, Lord, help us be the light and hope to this world. Help us fulfill the commission that you have given us to share the good news that you have risen and you are with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.